I wanted to play for you one of the songs from the singing. We had 220 last year, and they were expecting between 300 and 400 this year. But we had over 600 came. This is one of the songs they sang. To give you a little bit of the feeling of what it's like when you have a group of Ugandans that have come from a long ways away in order to be able to hear about the church and to be able to worship together. As you see, they filled in the whole gap, and eventually those empty chairs that were up front, yes, they still hide the empty chairs right at the front, like America's almost. But they filled them in as time went on. After it was over and people had eaten, they're like Americans too. When they've eaten, they want to go home. So we concluded right after the food time. But while we were there, it rained, and the Ugandans were extremely happy, and they came to me and said, "You know what this means, don't you?" I said, "It rained." I said, "No, this is God blessing this event." That's what they think. When you have an event, after the event is over and it rains, it's God pouring out His blessing on the event. So they were extremely happy, and they said, "Now, we need to do this again." And I said, "Now, last year I told you all that we would help you get home and we would feed you, and we were planning for 300 to 400. I had to ask the elders, and I'm thankful they were nice enough to do it, to send 2,000 over from DCAB to bail me out. Because they told everyone we were paying for the transport to and from, and then we were feeding 300 to 400, and turned out to be over 600. And Ugandans can eat a lot. Don't let their skinniness, they eat a bunch. They'll eat whole plate full, even the little Ugandans do. But this trip has been one of the best I've ever had. During the 3.5 weeks, I did have an American go with me. That's Paul. They had a lot of fun with Paul on this trip. And as we would go through places, he was always saying, "There's two Americans on the trip." I said, "No, there's 3 Ugandans in the car and 1 American." And we'd stop at different police checkpoints, and I'd ask him, I said, "How many Ugandans do you see in the car?" And they'd look in and say, "3 Ugandans, 1 American." Over and over. And so as we were working with people, we worked with widows, we worked with orphans, we worked with children that had HIV and AIDS, their life expectancy is not very long. We worked with widows that had HIV and AIDS and tried to share with them the gospel. I asked them to keep track last year from October 1st when we first began to the end of September, how many baptisms, because we work with 20 congregations. And I asked them how many baptisms and how many are still faithful. That's the number I like to hear because it shows retention capability. And they had 200 baptisms in the last year. And then they had 180 that were still faithful in attendance. And of the 20, they had 8 that had passed away. So most of the time when they are converted to the Lord, they stay very, very faithful. We had, during our 3.5 weeks, we had 20 baptisms. And we had 4 restorations. One of them was very dear to my heart. This man that had left his wife, she was the daughter of one of the elders at Essengera, and his 7 children. He just abandoned them. and went for a younger wife. And the men had been trying and trying and trying to restore him. And he had been restored right at the end, just before we arrived. He decided that he needed to do what's right and be right with the Lord. So he is now back with his wife and 7 kids. I told him this year I would still pay for half of the education, but next year they're all on him because he is their father. We had many baptisms on that Sunday, the 15th of October. And I had a difficulty. I won't say the wireless company's name, but the most reliable network in America for 2 weeks, my first 2 weeks, had someone in a foreign country answering my business phone line. We don't know how. And they tried to deny it happening until we named off staff of theirs that heard, and we had a list of people that thought I was out of business. They thought I had moved to Uganda, or that I had, in one member's words, she said, I thought you were in jail in Uganda and the guard was answering your phone. So the Lord didn't put me in jail. We went through the mission work and it went quite well until we got back to almost back to going back home. And then I had to deal with that company too. And we're still dealing with them. So they need your prayers. And I need your prayers that they will act like the most reliable. That's enough said on that point. But when they said that everything looked good on their part, I said, hardly. I wouldn't think someone in a foreign country answering your phone is good. So, but as we go through these, I'm going to make comments about what we're seeing. And bear with me because y'all are the first ones to actually see this. And I clicked on the wrong section. That's Liberty College singing this section I need right here. We did buy Bibles, and we had Bibles from DeKalb that went with us over to these Bibles are in their own language. And so we were able to get them distributed. And we had 5 Bibles that we were able to have there in English. We gave 2 of them to 2 of the hotel staff that were interested in the church and further study. These are some of the kids that we dealt with at one of the orphanage school combos there. This is Zulu Church of Christ, the building that they laid that foundation. That was as far as they've got. Now they have about 3-foot tall walls. This is the Zulu congregation itself. This is the congregation up on the mountain where Sulad is. This is in the Muslim area. It's still 34 in size, which is very good when you go from 1 in 2016 to converting to 3, and then you start studying out with people and you bring it up to 34. And they're still studying and trying to work on people to convert them from Muslim faith to Christianity. This is one of the classrooms that we've been working on, and the kids there were lining up. They do every year. They just line up perfect for candy, or they call them sweets. These kids just kind of gathered. We've got 2 cisterns. We've got one on top of the mountain where the school is that we're constructing the classrooms in. And we've got one on top of the mountain where we're getting ready to start the Congregation of the Lord's Church, Lord willing. This is the mother with her kids that we've been supporting the last year for their schooling. She provides their food. She provides their clothing and shelter. And now her husband has come home. And they're working together to mend the fence there. This lady is a member of the church. Her 2 kids are faithful in attendance. Dopa is one of the first 3 converts of the congregation up on the Muslim area. But she was a second wife to a Muslim. And she had learned that that's not right with the scriptures, so she divorced him. And he threw her and her 2 kids out on the street. So we were able to provide them rent for a year, and they could start over life. There Jeremiah is being our conveyor of the funds to help them move. And these aren't fancy dwellings, but they're a lot better than the streets, and they're very happy for that. Here's the bricks that were being brought up by the kids for the school. I asked Enos how it was going. He said, we're having difficulty getting bricks hauled up. And I told him, why? You have an army of ants. And he said, I don't understand. I said, ask the kids. They will help. And they said, yes, we will carry bricks. And they're carrying them two and three on top of their heads up the mountain. The mountain's about half a mile up. And this year, they said, Paul, they saw how I did going to one of the baptisms, and it wasn't as difficult as trip is up the mountain. And they said, we will come down to see you again. You need to have some physical exercise. So the kids are bringing bricks up, and they're just piling them in once they get up top. And that one young man has four. And you can see they just pile them up there. They're bringing 900 to 11. That's Enos carrying, looks like, six bricks. So he's being an example to the kids as they travel up the mountain. Every day, 900 to 1,100 bricks get brought up that mountain. That's Paul Kaufman. He doesn't look like me, I know, but his father and mother and Hema had the little boy, and they named him Paul Kaufman. These are the orphans in Ghana that we have been taking care of. Did not see them this year. We've made an arrangement with a local preacher to get follow-up reports on them. Precious Yah is a Christian. The young boys are faithful, and she's faithful at church. She's right now trying to find a job. She has graduated and looking to find a job. That's the new book, and every year we're going to produce this book, only a different cover, so that as they get them, at the end, the preachers collect them, take them back to their congregations, and they're using them in their congregations for songbooks there. Here's the congregation's building that we've got at what we call ring beam stage. It's ready for the roof. That's Kasisi Church of Christ. We have got the roof on it now. This is the Zulu's building that they've got. No, excuse me. This is the classrooms on top of the mountain that we've been building. And they're almost up to truss and metal roof stage. These are some of the orphans that I've dealt with over there. And I saw this on Facebook, and I captured that because it speaks well for those kids. Praying for the people in Texas. That's when we had the hurricane that hit Houston. Now, if you think of it, these kids may not have a meal a day, and yet they're praying for the people in a city of millionaires. It's a contrast there. There some of the kids are. They're starting to line up to get suites. Zulu's building starting to move up. We had, like I said, 20 baptisms during the 3.5 weeks I've been there. And we have more that have been since that time. I had someone ask me, was that Ernest Hemingway? No, that's me. I pointed out Ernest is dead. His lifestyle was not mine. And that's Paul Franks, and he all through the trip, he advised me all through the trip that it was, he had lived a cushy life, a very comfortable, easygoing life. And the first day that we were there and had a 12-hour day, he said, Paul, are all the days this long? And I joyfully said, no, some of them are longer. But at the end of everything, he was happy he came, but he shared with me his mission history was Caribbean islands, where you had the blue waters and sandy bars and nice food. But I told him on this, I gave him warning once we left Chicago, didn't want him to bail out before then, that we would have variety in our food. At lunch, we'll have rice and beans. And if we're around Ugandans at supper time, we'll have beans and rice. Just a matter of how you look at it. This is up where Brother Ronald is. He needs a roof on his building. We were there. The rest of the group had already eaten. We were sitting around eating with a few of the Ugandans. And one of the neighbors mentioned to Brother Ronald, he said, I've never seen this. And he said, what? And he brought him up to us. He said, I've never seen Mzungas eating with Ugandans. That's white people eating with Ugandans. And I explained to him that the church is a family and that we're a family in Christ. And we had a good Bible study. And about that time, we had a very heavy rain that came. And
the tarp was doing quite well until the rain came, and he invited us into his home. Oh, those are elephants. We saw elephants all around. I think they were stalking us. This is the congregation outside his home. It was so heavy, and his home was right behind the church. He's not a member of the church yet. Brother Ronald started studies right away with him, but he invited us to go in and to be in where we weren't in danger there. Some of the areas we didn't have to watch for crocodiles, but we did have to find water that was deep enough to do immersion on baptism. This is the outside looking at the building. The ladies were fixing food behind the building. There they were seeing us off. These are the widows up on top of the mountain. There are 35 widows and their children. And we had learned that in 2015, when I first came, they said I was the first and only missionary that's come to share with them any love and compassion at all. And this year I learned that they had had a major drought for the first growing season. And so there's a lot of starvation. And when the widows have starvation, they send out people to go poach for animals. And they're shot and killed. Since they've been there, they've had 75 widows that have been killed. Here they're singing a song about their difficulty, about their lament of problems. And we are looking to start a congregation in their building up there. We have the preacher ready to go for that. We have the location, the people wanting the church there. We're needing two motorcycles for that. Each motorcycle, at first I thought they were really cheap. They were $1,000 a piece. But then what I learned is they sell you it without all the lights and brakes. And by the time you put lights and brakes on, you're up to about $1,500 for a motorcycle that will make it up the mountain. The kids were impressed that they could see themselves in pictures over there. Oh, that, you see that yellow item up there? That's what they call jackfruit. You have to watch. That fruit can drop off and hit you, and it can knock you out. And here they were doing a program, the kids were, and then the community was there, and we were able to talk to them about the gospel of Christ. And the school up there, the director has given us the opportunity to use the school building for a church building also. So we're looking on that same mountain that no congregation is nearby, starting two congregations up there. I saw this picture on their wall. That's me with the Ugandans from that school following me. And there some of the kids are. And Paul Franks is there. And our American friend, Paul Kaufman. I'm actually in a coat and tie there. They're quite impressed with that. Here they are in the town. They had an instrument they had brought down, carried down. It took six men to play it while they were doing their tribal dances and stuff. It's quite interesting the way they did, but they wanted to let us know that they are happy we're there and just really didn't want us to leave when we did. There the instrument is, and they have reeds that are put into the wood, too, to give the different octaves and so forth as they play it. And you can see the elephants back there. Like I said, we had elephants. Everywhere we looked, there were elephants this year. The other years, they've been pretty scarce, one or two elephants, but this time we didn't. And this is, I don't know if you can see them well, they're called climbing lions. Only two areas in Africa have them. And they climb up in the tree and they sleep. Unless you get too near, then they eat. I tried to not be too near. Number of baptisms. We have had four from Liberty College now. Recently that have been baptized into Christ. Their Miss Joy is, Fenway Joy, she is a new Christian. We always tie the Liberty College students and any of them that come across with me wanting to be baptized with the Ugandans to do the baptizing. So they will be doing the follow-up work. Again, not Hemingway. There the hippos are enjoying the leisurely time. And there Paul is, has a Bible, he was ready to go that morning. By the time we finished that day, he was beat. This is Sulat's sister. We help her in her education. She's a member of the Lord's body. And there's family that's, they just wanted a picture with me. I try to blend in, but they find me. I don't know how. That's Liberty College. This is a little congregation that I went to last year. Miss Jane attended and said they called themselves the Church of Christ, but the preachers were saying they're not the Church of Christ. Well, when I went there, it did have a sign that says Church of Christ, but they had instruments going and they didn't serve the Lord's Supper. There's several issues there. So I had studies with preachers, and this year I went to see how they're coming. Their issue is, how do you make the Lord's Supper? And so Ezekiel is doing a follow-up visit there to teach them how to make the Lord's Supper, to have it every week. We gave out balloons this year as well as candy to the kids that had AIDS. Paul Franks used his ability to blow up balloons. And he would get them blown up and then give them to the kids, and the kids would let the air out. They just thought it was funny to see them blow up and come back down. But I told Paul, don't you re-blow them once they do that, but let them blow them up. This is some land that this congregation that rents a building has bought, paid for a part of it. We're about 1,300 shy on paying for the rest of it. They've already bought materials for it to build their church building on. And we walked together down the road to see it. They've got a large number of orphans there, and they also have a large number of widows that are there. That's the widows and the orphans at that congregation in Hema. There Paul is. He is very useful. He also spoke on the radio. I let him speak every time. We had three radio broadcasts going on. One's in Cassisi, and two of them are in Fort Portal. And that's little Winnie and her sister. They're getting new uniforms, and the education's paid up for another year. There's the school. They're raising their heads when they asked how many remembered who I was, and asked who could tell what my name was. And they kept saying, the candy man that speaks about Jesus, and finally one said, Paul Kaufman, and so they gave that one extra candy. This is the Cassisi Church of Christ getting the metal roof on. It is, I got a picture the other day, we don't have it here in this deal, where they have their toilet outside outhouse done. We're needing about 1,200 to 1,300 to complete this building with doors and windows and benches. Then the body of Christ will be there. We went while we were there and had a door knocking, and the young man, I told them I was going to let them do the door knock, and I learned they didn't know how to door knock. They just stood there and looked at us. So we went with them for a little while, and then Jeremiah came, and I let him do the door knocking. Because we want them converted to the Lord. We don't want them to be converted to a white man. This is Essengera. Give you a contrast of their old building and the new building. It does have the doors and windows in. You might ask, why do you need doors and windows? Well, when you're in a building and you have benches, people that need firewood will take your benches and burn them for their firewood so they don't have to buy firewood. And this little boy here has a sister. She's growing up. She was the one that looked like a China doll back in 2014. And he took the plate of food that had a little bit of rice left, and she showed how much lungs she had on her. So he still cares for her, carries around and helps her through it. There Jeremiah and his wife are. They're standing in front of their house that they're trying to get finished where they can move in. Here the kids were saying bye to us. They're kind of sad because they see us getting ready to leave. And this is the kids that came down from the mountain. They're at the Zuli Church of Christ. You can see this was the foundation that they had, and we gave them 2 million Uganda shillings to see what else they could do, and they went this far and stopped. This is a school that Izuli is using a classroom right now. I made a deal with the director. I would donate a laptop to the school. Matter of fact, I believe one of the members here gave, I'm not sure which one, gave the laptop that was given to this school. And that was the agreement I had, is that the laptop would be there for the school to use, and they allow Zula to use their building until they can move in their own building. And the director, I was very proud to hear, was thanking the church for even being in that school, because they said that the church had learned, the school kids had learned ethics and morality from the church. They were very thankful. Here's one of the school buildings freshly built. They still need a couple more classrooms up there on top of the mountain. We were able to drive to this one, so that wasn't a difficulty. There they're starting to build an arbor to have a classroom temporarily. They've got land to build on. And there Paul is with kids. That's the singing. You can see packed. There the rain is. And there they're packing up to go. They'll put 32 in the back of a pickup, 4 in the cab of it. Vans is usually 35, maybe more. They had a big truck that they piled in, dump truck type. And they piled the whole group up that's going up the top of a mountain that it took that truck to get them there. There it is. There the kids are being brought to me. There was something. This child didn't fear me at all. Candy helps, though. And this lady brought her twins. And they were happy that a Mazunga sat down was part of their lives. And this child's been got a little worried at first, and then it reached out and held my hand. And after a little bit, that's what I found it doing. And I looked at the child and said, "You're going to be disappointed there. You need your mama." So there's widows were from the mountain that were happy to again see us, and they were wanting pictures taken with us there. There's Paul Kaufman again. The CC Church of Christ with the roof in place. These were neighborhood kids. These were our door knockers that needed to learn how to door knock, and we were teaching them. During that door knocking, we did have one lady that decided to be baptized into Christ that day. And here I was studying with a Muslim about the difference between Muhammad and Jesus Christ. There's Salat's sister is in her school attire. She's had her teacher tell us that she's doing very well in school. This is a school called the Elite School. They're hoping to open in January, and it's for the poor, the orphans, and the disenfranchised in Uganda. Free education is what they're offering. They've got one more building still to build. Up in this area, you have, that's a classroom of theirs. Haven't cleaned up the rooms yet. But up there, you've got a lot of people that have come over from Sudan and the DR Congo as refugees. So you have a lot of poor up there, and they need education. This is the Maliba Church of Christ. This is, sadly, where a missionary is still there, been there 22 years before Portal, had come to help them back 20 years or so ago, and he just threw the money on the ground at their feet, said, "There's your money." And it took them 10 years before they even wanted to invite another American in. And as we talked to them, we found that they were happy to be a part of the church and were happier because I didn't act like that missionary. And I said, "You're not supposed to act like that." This Brother Ronald, he's the preacher on top of the mountain where we had that heavy rain, and his two boys. This is an area where we had orphans with HIV and AIDS. And we had to go over to another area because some of them were too weak to come over. The state does give them some medicine to help them so death isn't as quick, but their life expectancy is pretty short over there with HIV and AIDS. This is the King of the Pygmies. He is a member of the church now, he and his wife both. He was addressing us, and I became his friend, especially when I didn't eat but just a little bit of my big plate of food, and I offered he and his wife and their children, two children, to enjoy the food. And he's about 3.5 foot tall, maybe 4, but I doubt it's 4 foot tall. He and I became very good friends, and he has invited me next year to come into the Pygmy Kingdom. I inquired how many pygmies were there, and they said 180,000 pygmies are in Uganda. So you're talking about 180,000 people that have never heard the gospel, and their king's going to let me come in. He'll keep me safe. There he and his wife and the two little kids are sitting by him there. The king gave me a book about the pygmies so I can kind of get acquainted with their history. There he is. That's his brother right there standing in the yellow shirts. That's his wife and their two little children. I do mean little. Now, Jeremiah probably is 4'7" or 5' tall, maybe. The one on the right with water bottles. So that'll kind of give you a bearing on how I will look like a giant over there. This is up in the Muslim area. They've darkened the wood. They've sealed off so not as much water or cold weather comes in. Beautiful singing there. This is where Salat's dad had originally said we could have the land, but he meant have it to build on and use for free. But then when he got sick, we ended up buying it. So the church owns the land. The crops that are on the land, when they are harvested, they are given to the needy in that area. And this is a market. You might not think it. This is kind of like Walmart. A vehicle stops, and everyone runs out with their commodity on top of their head and baskets trying to sell to them. This Portal Church of Christ, it's a sad situation. It's a tent, a big circus tent, but they only have 40 in size. And they said, one of the members said, when they have company coming, they'll invite their friends and they'll have up to 70. But normally 40 are those that are there. This is one of the radio programs getting ready to go up to be on the radio. And there Paul is doing a message. There they're eating. Ugandans love food. They don't get it very often. They get maybe one meal a day, and that's really a blessing. This is Kitaraza. I was wondering why John, who's the one on the left back there, why they couldn't afford their $18 a month rent. And that Sunday I was there to preach, I learned what they collect is a very small amount of money, but they give it to the neediest of the needy from that congregation. They have an old man standing next to him in the black coat. He's next to the oldest. The very oldest had walked there from home and turned around, got feeling really bad, walked back home. So after church, we went by to have prayer with him and to visit with him and help him. And we found him sitting under a banana tree. His dog started growling. For some reason, he pegged I was not the same type of person. But he said something, and the dog quietly moved away. And so he and I talked. We became with the translator, I might add. And we had prayer together. And then I left him a container of strawberry Newtons, candy for his grandkids, and some money for some rice and beans and so forth. This is the new congregation that's starting up. The preacher at Kasisi preaches Sunday morning at Kasisi, then takes a motorcycle an hour away to be able to preach for them. We just rented a building, and one of the police called for their preacher to come in, and he came in and he asked for his credentials, whether he could preach. And he showed him his school, graduate of school of preaching. And so the preacher welcomed him into the community. We bought 20 chairs for him, and we paid 2 months of rent so far. And he's got about a month of boat travel right now. We're working to try there to raise money for a motorcycle so that every week he can go over and come back, over and come back. This is from the last hotel in Entebbe we stayed in. That was our relax point. And the monkeys enjoyed it too. This is Essagera. They do have the doors and windows in place now. They are ready to begin. The elders spoke to me at Essagera, and they did a kind of strange thing. They acted like elders. And you might say that shouldn't be strange, and it shouldn't be. But what they have found in Uganda, because they don't have public school, is the kids go to Anglican or Catholic schools. And as they are exposed to the false doctrine, they then tend to not see as much problem with that. And so what the elders at Asingera proposed in both buildings they have is to establish P1 through 7 classes for the youngers and have teachers there teaching. And that way, they're not going to be exposed to the false doctrine at an early age. I asked, how much will it take for this school to take place? And they said $168 a month for 7 teachers. Now, that's not each one gets 168. That means 168 divided by 7 per month allows for that school to begin operation. We've got 4 other congregations of the Lord's Church that are also seeing this, and they're seeing it from a history of people that have obeyed the gospel. Their kids have been raised, but because of lack of place to have education, they're then put over into a Anglican or Catholic, and as they get older, they start to say they don't see a problem with the way the Anglicans and Catholics do. And so elders are to watch over the souls. That's why I said they're acting like elders. They recognize that those children need to be fed properly. They recognize there need to be sound teaching. Western part of Uganda and central Uganda has shunned the missionary in Fort Portal because he teaches strange doctrine. He thinks women can preach. He thinks women can dance in the assembly and men can, and that he can interpret what the Bible says, and he doesn't see a problem with instrumental music. Those are just a few of the issues. We stood at his gate, knocking at the door to see if we could talk to him, and all we were greeted by was a guard with a sword. He would not talk to us. But the body of Christ that we work with, these 20 congregations, I think you've seen most of the congregations are as big as his 22-year-old congregation, and most of them are 3 and 4 times the size because they're out evangelizing. To have 200 baptisms in a year's time and 180 of them are faithful still today, and 8 passed away out of that 20. So you can't really hold them for not being there. But they love the Lord. They love what the Lord says, and they want to see the body grow. Each congregation I talked to wasn't content just to have their congregation, but they were looking at towns that are nearby, each of them, saying, you know, we could preach here and then go over and start another congregation over here in this town and this town. There's lots of work. Where Brother Salat started the congregation, he went back 2 years, well, in 16, he went back to teach his family, who are Muslim, what Christ is all about. First thing he did was convert one of his 2 friends, and then another. Then they would meet, and they would rotate out. One would preach a sermon, one would do the Lord's Supper, one would lead singing. And each time I would hear him on Facebook, I'm going to preach a sermon on this verse. What do you think it means? I said, you look at that verse, and you study, and you tell me what you think it means. And we worked through, and we had good, solid teaching going on. That congregation grew to 34. There were 45 to 50 there the day I was there. And it was raining out there. They'll come in the rain. You see, the Word of God talks about those that will hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they will be fed. They will be filled. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. Here we have a mountaintop that has taken 4 years of being with the people, among the people, caring for the people, that they have seen Christ and Him crucified through the work we're doing. And now they're open to 2 congregations. We've just got to get the 2 preachers up there to be teaching. We've got non-Christians opening their homes to them every weekend. They can come in. I imagine they're going to be converted fairly quick. But we've got to get them up there. This work has grown exponentially. Paul told me, he said, you know, I know a congregation that spends $200,000 on 12 congregations in Mexico. And your budget this year was $25,000. And you're dealing with 20 congregations. I said, we're on a shoestring budget. But I was so happy when we had 600 plus at the scene. A mixture of non-members and members. And my heart just leaped when 13 souls that Sunday chose to be baptized into Christ. It's not about the numbers per se. It's about faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily about the number. It's that are you hungering and thirsting after the righteousness so that Christ will fill? I enjoyed the fact that the Ugandans saw me as a Ugandan. And I said, give you time, Paul. You may become a Ugandan. He said, no, I'm an American. I said, I agree. You are an American. But wait till the trip's over and you start reminiscing over all the events, the kids, and recognizing that some of the kids will not be around next year. But we have had a chance to impact their life. Some of the kids will have died from the diseases they have. Some of the kids will have died from starvation because they do not have the food. Some of the kids, sadly, will be caught in skirmishes and will not make it out alive. But we're there to represent Christ and Him crucified. One of the Ugandans where he preaches where the king is, he said, I tried to find you last year. And I said, why me? He said, Paul, you have showed you love us, and we know about the other guy who does not love us. You have chosen to be a part of our lives and to help the church instead of being relegated to banana trees and little arbor here and there. You have helped us to start to build a presence of the church where we have buildings, permanent structures so people can come to worship God. He said, I know it doesn't take it, but when you're in a community of Pentecostals and Seventh-day Adventists and Anglicans and Catholics that say the Church of Christ is just a cult, they have no building to worship in. If they worship the God that they claim, why won't they have a building? And he said, we've been praying and praying because we could not afford it. And now constructions are happening all over and people in Uganda are seeing it. He said, you don't know it, but you're known even in central Uganda. And I said, I ask you this, do they know me or do they know Jesus? Because the important part is that they know Jesus. The Apostle Paul phrases it this way, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ. I come there in love with the people, care for the people, listen to the people, and I come back and ask American Christians to open their hearts and say, yes, I will help. I've been four trips where it's been me, myself, and I, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This year, God gave me an American. Spoiled American. Said he lived a cushy life. I said, yeah, you lived a cushy life. And as we flew back, he said, Paul, I have never seen the poverty that I did here. But I have seen that they are happy in the Lord. Jesus can give us life more abundant, but we've got to be in the Lord. The invitation is yours, the same invitation we offer over there, to hear the Word of God, to believe, to repent, to confess Christ, and to be buried with Christ in baptism and raised up and walk that new life. No matter how long or short it is, walk that life that represents to the people that know us Christ and Him crucified. If you have need to respond to the invitation, do so as we stand.